right. Good morning, Life Point Church. Hope everyone is doing well and enjoying the holiday season. I'm so thankful and excited that you all are here with us today to celebrate the birth of our Savior. Just what an incredible moment in history, moment in time in our lives and in our faith to be able to know that there is hope and that Christ is the Lord and that he loved us enough to make a way for us to be made right with him again. So it's incredible, and I'm so thankful that you're here with us today to celebrate and worship that fact with us here. Where's all of my kids workers that normally are in our kids ministry? Hey, welcome. This is what it's like upstairs in big church. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you all for what you do. Please give it up for our kids workers. They create a great place for our kids to experience what it is to have a relationship with God and to know who he truly is. And I'm so thankful personally for that. And as a church, man, it's incredible. Our kids are our future. So thank you guys for doing that. Today, obviously it's a couple days before Christmas. So we're going to be focusing in on the birth of Christ. And that's kind of what we've been doing over the past 3 weeks. We've been in this series called To Us, a Child is Born. And what we've been doing is we've been exploring the names that the Old Testament prophet Isaiah used to describe the Messiah, right? To describe Jesus, some 700 years before Jesus was even born. And we see these names mentioned in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Again, it's a very common passage of scripture that we see around this time of year, around Christmas time. So it reads this: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." And over the past 3 weeks, we've explored and uncovered Jesus as the Wonderful Counselor, as our Mighty God, and as our Everlasting Father. And again, as I say it every week, if you missed any of that, you can go check it out on our podcast, on the website, or wherever you get your podcast needs met. You can go there. It'd be awesome. But today, we're going to wrap this series up. We're going to conclude it, digging into Isaiah's prophetic description of Jesus as being the Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace, man. So to kick things off this morning, I want to ask you all a question. And I do want participation. It's not, you know, just for you to internally think. I want participation. So how many of you would be honest and say that there's something in your life, like at least one thing in your life, whether it be big or small, but something in your life that you wish was different? Great participation this morning. I'm so excited. Right. We all do. We all have these things in our life that at times we wish were different. And I think the holiday season, the Christmas season, is kind of interesting because different people intersect with it in different ways. So for some people, this is the happiest season of all, right? Like, they love it. Some of you all have had your Christmas trees up since October. You need to confess and pray over that. But, you know, you love it. You're so excited for it. You decorate and you're pumped. And it's just the greatest time of year for you. Worship and celebrate the birth of Jesus. And you're in the giving spirit. And you love to you just love it. You dig it. Everything about it. But others of you, man, Christmas and this holiday season, like, brings up just raw emotions of loss, raw emotions of loneliness, or I really wish things were different. And it's a tough time. And so we all kind of intersect in this time of year in different ways. For some of you, it's a time of no peace. And that's difficult. And I get that. Just 2 days ago, Friday, I made the trip down to Memphis. It was a long trip in one day. I kind of regret that, but no, it was great. But I made a trip down to Memphis to go see Mike, Tessa, and Iliad. And it was I had a great time visiting with them. I spent 2 or 3 hours with them, just hanging out, loving on them, loving on Iliad, and just getting the updates and on kind of what's going on and just connecting with them. But as I was there, it's such a beautiful place. Like, if you've never been to St. Jude's, it's incredible. That the facility that they're staying in is gorgeous, and they are so well taken care of and loved. But it's heartbreaking. It is gut-wrenching to be there, to see these kids walking around with masks with their families and going through treatment and having, you know, tubes hooked up to them and lines. And it's just, it's heartbreaking. And none of them, though they're thankful for that place, want to be there right now. They don't want to spend Christmas there. Iliad has a doctor's appointment on Christmas Day where he's going to get some blood drawn and some tests run and things like that. Never did they think that their first Christmas was going to be like that. So it can be tough, right? There's things that we all wish were different. We all have things that we're facing. We all have things that are going on. Some of us are battling health issues, or we have a loved one that's battling health issues. We have someone in our life, or maybe it's us that's battling some type of mental illness. And it's tough, and it's exhausting. And it's cyclical. It just always seems to be going up and down, and it's challenging. Some of you, you know, you feel again that sense of loss, no purpose. You don't know your purpose. You don't get it, and you're stressed out. Or maybe you're just not where you thought you would be by this time and this stage in your life. Maybe it's that you're just exhausted. How many of you all are exhausted right now? Be honest, right? A lot of us, we're exhausted. Some of it's our fault. Sometimes we've overextended ourselves and our schedules are crazy, but sometimes it's out of necessity. We feel like because we have to do these things and it's exhausting. Or maybe it's financial, right? You're just financially tapped out, especially at this time of year. You've, you know, spent way too much on the kids for Christmas. Put it on a credit card or whatever, and you know that bill's coming in January, and you're a little freaked out about it. Don't know what you're going to do. But we all have things going on in our life that rob us of our joy, that rob us of our peace, that make maybe this time of year or other times difficult. I don't know what it may be for you, but during this time of year, that's supposed to be about joy and happiness and peace and giving and love. We're consumed with doubt, frustration, fear, stress, anxiety, loneliness. We wish it were different. We wish there was peace. And my hope for you all this morning, for each of you, is that you will truly connect with the wonderful counselor, right? With the mighty God, with our everlasting Father, because he is the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And I pray that each of you connect with him in that way today, that he truly does bring peace into your life. And not just during this time of year, but 24/7, 365, every single day of the year, every moment that you live from his peace and that you're transformed by it. Because he's the Prince of Peace. Now, this wouldn't be a Christmas service if we didn't jump into Luke chapter 2, right? I mean, it's kind of a must. I mean, I've grown up in the church. Like, if I don't read from Luke chapter 2, we're all in trouble, right? So, especially me. So, but let's check out Luke chapter 2 and see what an angel of the Lord had to say to the shepherds. You all know this, but it's great, and it really is going to fit with what we're going to talk about today. So it's found in Luke chapter 2. We're going to look specifically at verses 10 through 14. It says this, "And the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared and with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests.'" So according to the heavenly host, right, to the angels, the birth of Christ, the birth of the Messiah, not only brought glory to God, but the birth of Christ brought peace on earth. And I don't want you to miss that. His birth brought peace on earth. Peace, right? However, when we really step back and we look at the world around us today, honestly, we see anything but. We read peace on earth, and then we pay attention to what's going on. Man, like for me, I interact with people all the time who are stressed, hopeless, doubtful, negative, upset, never satisfied, always wanting more. Just simply, there's no peace in their life. Even those who claim the name of Jesus, right? Christ followers, Christians. I mean, they're walking around defeated, miserable, exhausted, tearing each other down as opposed to building each other up, right? Their marriages are spiraling out of control. As parents, running around just terrified of what's going to happen to your kids or what could happen or what direction they're going to go, what their future looks like. Just worried. Financially, you know, financial situation could be described as impossible, right? There's no peace in our lives. As a country, we have mass shooting after mass shooting. Racism is running rampant in our society. Whether you want to admit it or not, it is. Children and elderly are being neglected and abused every single second of every single day here in our own country. The list could go on and on. There doesn't seem to be a lot of peace. But Jesus brought peace on earth, right? I mean, this is what the scripture says, that his birth brought glory to God and peace on earth. So where's the disconnect, right? It can cause one to think, you know, like what's really going on here? Like what does it truly mean for us today to have peace? So to help us better understand this and begin to navigate and work through this, Jesus' role as the Prince of Peace, I first want us to actually look and see what the Prince of Peace actually means, right? To kind of break it down. And the description of Jesus here in Isaiah is translated from the Hebrew words sar shalom. And sar means head person, keeper, which I really like that, keeper, the one who's in charge, the chief, the captain, right? The Lord, the sar, right? And then shalom means safe, rest, tranquility, wholeness, completeness, true peace. So when we hear Prince of Peace, and Jesus says the sar shalom, we can say that he is in charge of rest, right? Jesus is in charge of rest. He's the captain of tranquility. He's the chief of contentment. And he's not only the keeper of peace, but he's the Lord of peace. We have to understand and know Jesus as the Prince of Peace if we ever want to have that in our life. Because here's the key, and this is what I want you to connect with and grasp this morning. This is the piece that where I think the disconnect typically occurs, is that that Jesus truly is our Prince of Peace. Right, peace on earth, it's a fact. We read it in scripture, that's who he is. And as long as we stay connected to him, as long as we're following him, as long as we are living under his leadership and his authority, we can have that peace. We will have that peace. He longs to give us his peace when we're connected to him. But think about it this way. If you step out from under his leadership, if you disconnect from him, go around trying to do things your own way, live life your own way, like I got this, I'm good, can we really expect for him to give us his peace? I mean, think about it. I mean, is that a rational expectation to say, hey, you go over here, I'm gonna go do this, I'm gonna do my own thing, but I want you to give me your peace? It doesn't work that way. It doesn't. But when we connect with him, when we're connected to the Father, when we're living under his leadership, you will have his peace, his joy, his rest in your life. that peace that will sustain you during the darkest and most difficult moments of your life. You will have that when you're connected to him. And it's a peace that only comes from Jesus. You see, this peace is so much more than a feeling. Don't start singing the song in your head. I know, more than a feeling. It's great. But it is. This is more than just a feeling. This peace is, like I said in the definition, it's about completeness. It's about us being made whole. It's about true rest. And it only comes from the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And when we're connected to him, man, we're good. We will experience that peace, but when we go and do it on our own, running and doing our own thing, maybe God's gonna remove that peace from your life as a way to get your attention, to draw you back to him. And I know that kind of sounds harsh, but man, I've experienced this in my own life so many times, to where I'm connected to God, right? I'm following him. I'm reading his word. I'm spending time with him in prayer, and I'm worshiping him, and my mind is fixated and focused on him, and I'm at peace. I don't have all the stress and the doubt and the fear. I'm at peace. But see, what tends to happen with us as fallen people, we get at peace, and then we get comfortable, right? And then we start to slowly go back to doing our own thing. We're like, oh, we got this. Things are good, so I'm smooth. And then we start to do our own thing, our own way, and then all of a sudden that peace starts to slip away. Not that God is leaving us ever. He'll never leave us or never forsake us, but we're not under his leadership. We're not connected. And then so that fear and that anxiety and those doubts and that distorted thinking, for me, that's what starts to come in. And so that slips in, and then it starts to rob me and destroy my peace. But as soon as I then come back and connect with the Father and begin to fall on my face and say, I don't know why I thought I could do this on my own. I need you. That peace then comes back, and it restores me. And he will do the same thing for you, because he is the Prince of Peace, right? He's the Prince of Peace. And so that's kind of the big picture of looking at Jesus as the Prince of Peace. It's kind of the macro level of that description. But what about the micro level, right? What about Jesus as the Prince of Peace in your everyday life? In the nitty gritty, the day to day, when it all hits the fan. Like, what does that look like? What does it mean for Jesus to be the Prince of Peace? Well, I have two final thoughts that I want to share with you on this topic. And it's the first thing that we're going to see is that Jesus is the peace who comforts you. Right? He is the peace who comforts you. That no matter what you're going through, he's going to be that peace in your life. He will calm your spirit. He'll calm your soul and your emotions, and he will bring to you that peace. And I know that there are many of you sitting in here today that 2018 has not been the kindest to you and to your families. You've experienced life, and it's been tough, and it's not been easy, and there's things that you wish were different, and it's led to some internal, maybe even some spiritual, that lack of peace in your life. Please know that Jesus wants to bring you comfort, even when it doesn't always feel that way. When we get in our heads and we start feeling sorry for ourselves, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he wants to be that peace who comforts you. Check out what Jesus said, recorded in John chapter 14, verse 27. He said this: "Peace I leave you with. My peace I give you." Right there, it's not our peace, It's his peace that he freely gives you. Peace I leave with you, peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. I know for me, there's many times that I allow my heart to be troubled. Many times that I'm afraid. And it's not necessary. Because he's the Prince of Peace. And it's his peace that he gives us. And he gives it to us so that we can have comfort. In any circumstance, at any point in time, we can have comfort. So that our hearts won't be troubled. So that we won't be living in fear. So that we can know that we're good. I think about it like, you know, those of you all that know me know that I'm a worry wart completely. Like, I worry about everything. I stress out about everything. It's just kind of how I'm naturally wired. It's something that I have to work through and pray through all the time. But I'm also not the most handy person at fixing things. I've gotten better, but I'm not that great. And so when I think about there's something in my house that I need to fix or whatever, if I'm going at it solo, like by myself, I'm stressing out before, just thinking about doing it. I'm at Home Depot buying stuff. I'm stressed out about that. Am I going to buy the right things? Did I buy the wrong things? Then I'm going to get home. Then I'm going to YouTube how to fix it. And I'm going to freak out the whole time about that. And even if I do it perfect, I'm going to freak out about it for about a month afterwards. Just thinking, what if I did it wrong? And because of that, my whole house collapsed. You know, it's like changing out a faceplate on a light switch. And I think my house is going to fall apart. You know, but whatever. So, but for me, in doing those things, zero peace. Zero peace in that for me. But if I have someone with me that is confident, that knows what they're doing, who's at peace in those situations, I'm good. I'm not stressed one bit. If I have Kent McLemore with me, you know, even if he's not doing anything but just telling me what to do and I'm doing it myself, or my dad, or you know, whoever, I'm smooth. Like, I'm good. I'm rolling through it, and I don't worry about it one bit. But it's because they're at peace. Therefore, I'm with them, and they're guiding me, and I'm under their leadership. Therefore, I can embrace and have access to their peace, even though I don't have it. And see, Jesus does the exact same thing for us. When we're walking through life and we are not at peace, and there's no reason based off our current experience for us to have peace, if you're walking with Jesus, if you're connected to the Father, he's at peace because he is peace. Therefore, you can have access to that. And you, too, can be at peace. Don't ever get it twisted. Don't ever make the mistake that this is your peace. That there's something that you did to build this peace in your life or to acquire this peace. It's not. The moment you start to think that this is your peace and that you've done something to build this up in your life, that's when everything else is going to start slipping in. That is going to be the doubt, the fear, the stress, or whatever that trigger is for you. It's his peace given to us. And when we're connected to him, we're smooth. We're good. It's his peace. But we have to understand that. We've got to accept that. Again, maybe you're somewhat like me and you're like equal parts perfectionist and control freak, right? And you like to do things on your own. Let's have fun. How many of you all would say you're that way? You like to take things on by yourself. Like, you got this. If it's going to get done, it's going to be done right. You know, whatever. Yeah. So for people like you guys and like me sometimes, this is tough because we want to solve our own problems, right? We want to take it on ourselves. You know, we want to figure it out. And whatever that it is in our life, we want to do that. But again, that's not how God works. We've got to lay these at his feet. We have to trust these issues that he's going to take care of it. And that's not always easy. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 clearly says, do not be anxious about anything, but but in every situation, not in some, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, not the peace of Andy, not the peace of you, but the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. If you truly want comfort and peace in your life, whatever the situation is that you're going through, man, you have to take it to him. You have to receive his peace and his leadership and his guidance, and you have to be connected to him, because he will give you that peace and he will then comfort you so that your hearts won't be troubled and you won't have to live in fear. Regardless of what's going on around you, you can have that peace in your life. And it doesn't make sense many times. I think as in my brief time of being a lead pastor over the past 4 years, there's been several situations that I've encountered that I'm like, this is, I don't know what to say or do. I think about when some good friends of ours, their little girl, their baby fell in the pool, and bad situation. She had to be rushed to the hospital. She was in, you know, the ICU at Cozair, and they thought she was done. And this is one of my best friends since I was like a baby. Like, I've known this dude forever. He was in my wedding. I mean, this was one of my closest friends. I was crushed, was devastated. So I'm driving to the hospital thinking, what am I gonna say? What am I gonna do that's gonna matter at all? So I just prayed. God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I'm afraid I'm just gonna go in there and stand there and just be like, I don't know. Or I'm just gonna go in there and start crying or whatever. So I prayed and I just went in there and I just tried to be there with them. Just to hug on them and love them, pray with them. Wasn't there long and then I left. And it's crazy because they said later, man, your presence just being there was so powerful and so comforting. And that's so baffling to me because I'm like, I was a nervous, like an emotional wreck. But I just let go. And I let God's peace consume me and lead me in that situation. And what's incredible about God is not only did he allow that in me, but then he spread that out to them. That's the keeper of peace. That's the Prince of Peace. And we have to many times have to let go and allow him to comfort us, guide us, to lead us, but we have to be connected. He is the peace who comforts you. Secondly, and probably the most important thing that I'll share with you this morning, is that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the peace who saves you. He's the peace that saves you, the peace that restores you, the peace that brings salvation, the peace that makes you right before God. He's the peace that saves you. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says this, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, not that we've been justified by our works or our religious efforts or anything like that, rather it's through faith, right? Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through faith, we have peace with God through Jesus, right? We have peace with God not because of anything that we've done. We have peace with God not because of our good works or because you pray or because you know the Bible, but you only have peace with God through Jesus Christ and Christ alone, through faith in him. Through faith in the Prince of Peace, right? The keeper of peace. And maybe you're here this morning and you're completely honest in saying that, man, I don't really know if I have real peace with God. I just don't feel it. I don't experience it. I feel like there's anything but peace in my life. Maybe you don't feel or have that peace of God with God because you don't truly know him. right? You've never stepped over that line of faith and given your life completely to him. And as a result, you don't really understand or know true peace. Or maybe you have had that peace with God at one point in time, but you've kind of turned your back and you're kind of out there again doing your own thing. And you're wondering, God, where's the peace? That true peace. But maybe you're not connected to the Father. Even when things are going well in your life, right? When they're going right, when things are good, you still feel like there's this void. You still feel like there's something missing. There's an absence of something. There's definitely an absence of peace. And if that's you this morning, I want to tell you that what you're feeling is correct. That if you don't know the Father, you will always have this void in your life. You will always have that absence of peace, feeling like there's just got to be something more. Even if you're super successful and things are going right, you're going to have this void in your life because there's only one thing to fill that. There's only one way to have peace, true peace with God, and that's through the finished and perfect work of Jesus. And that's it. That's the only way. You see, none of us are perfect. Not a single one of us are perfect. If we all were judged strictly on the Old Testament law or even on the Ten Commandments, yo, we'd be in trouble. Every single one of us would be guilty. Me, Daniel, Jared, Roger, everyone. We'd all be guilty. And as a result, we'd all be separated and disconnected from God. Things would be pretty bleak. And because of that, peace wouldn't exist. There'd be no peace in our hearts or in our lives whatsoever. But you see, the good news, right? The good news is that God loved you enough to make a way, right? And that's why Christmas is so beautiful. That's why Christmas is important. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He sent Jesus to become flesh and blood, right? Born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit. And that's important, right? That's really important because you see, not being born of man means that Jesus was born without sin. He's not born into the sin nature that you and I are born into. And I know people don't like to hear that. I get it. No one wants to hear that you're a sinner, right? As Christians, we've banged on people enough that they can't even stay in the word. Don't even want to know anything. But we all are. It's the reality. We are all, because of the fall of man, we're all born into sin. And if you don't believe me, then you probably don't have kids. Because I never had to teach my kids how to throw a temper tantrum. I didn't. I didn't have to teach them when they didn't have something that they wanted to fall out on the floor and scream and cry or throw something, even when they didn't know what they were doing. It's just innate in them. I didn't have to teach them how to lie to get their way out of being in, you know, trouble. Like, hey, did you eat that cookie? No, I didn't. And they got cookie all over their face. You sure you didn't eat that cookie? Oh. Right? It's innate in us. It's by our nature. We're born into sin. It just comes natural to us. If there's one thing we're good at, it's that. You got that going for you. But Jesus, right, the Son of God, he was born of a virgin, so he didn't inherit that sin nature. Right? And that's important. And therefore, because of that, he could become the perfect sacrifice for our flaws, for our sin, which ultimately is the path that he went, right? He submitted himself to God's authority, to his leadership, to his will, and went to the cross, took on all our sin, all our guilt, and all of our shame, died on the cross, and then rose again victoriously so that you and I could be made right before God. So that you and I could be connected to the Father, so that you and I could be forgiven, and that we could have peace with God. That's why it's peace on earth. That's why it's peace on earth, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And he came to make a way for us to be made right with God. And again, if you're here this morning and you don't know that you have peace with God, there's just a void, there's an emptiness. You're trying to do all the right things, you're working hard, you're jumping through all the right hoops, and you're doing all these things, but yet there's still no peace. It's because you can't do it on your own. You can't earn your way to peace with God. You can try all you want, and you can be good at it, but it's never going to happen because we're all flawed. But rather, it's through faith. Faith in the perfect, finished work of Jesus. You simply have to take a step of faith and believe that Jesus is enough. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, and we'll close with this, tells us, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace." You who were once far away, separated, disconnected from God, no peace, were brought near to him because of Jesus. You were brought near to him through Christ. Without Jesus, without celebrating of Christmas, that him coming and being born, without Jesus, we have no promise. We have no hope. We have no peace. But with him in our lives, connected to him, walking in stride with him, you can access his peace in your life. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the one who changes us, restores us, and gives us hope. Jesus is the peace that comforts us. And most importantly, Jesus is the peace that saves us. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and he is our Prince of Peace. Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning, Lord, as we gather together for our Christmas service here at Life Point, God. Gather together to celebrate you, to worship you. God, may we just pause for a second just to say thank you. God, thank you for making a way for us to be at peace with you. Making a way for us to be able to come into your presence. Making a way for us to be right. To save us. To restore us. To make us whole again. God, to give us peace. Lord, I'm so thankful for that. God, I thank you for sending your son, Jesus. For the example, for the life that he lived, for us to model after God, but most importantly, for him giving of his life for us. God, we thank you for that. As we continue in a spirit of prayer, and as the team begins to play here in a second, maybe you're here this morning, and you truly don't feel that peace with God. Maybe that's something new that you're experiencing now, or maybe it's something that you've been working through, that you've felt that. But you know that you're not at peace with God because you're not connected to him. Because you've never stepped over that line of faith, confessing and believing that he is who he said he is, that he's the Son of God, born of a virgin, sin, nature, negative. didn't have it, lived, and then died and rose again for us. Maybe you've never confessed and believed that he is Lord. But maybe today's that day. God is speaking to you. He's using that absence of peace to draw you to him right now, to bring you to him. And that was my experience. I can remember clear as day laying in my bed at night when I was in middle school thinking I don't have peace with God, being very unsettled. But you can resolve that today, not of yourself, but through Christ and his sacrifice. Again, it's about confessing and believing. Scripture says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, that you'll be saved. It's through Jesus only. It's by faith only, by confessing and believing. And if that's you this morning, I want to encourage you to step over that line of faith. You can just pour out your heart to God. You can do that right from your chair where you're sitting. Or you can come forward, whatever you need. But you connect with God. You just confess and believe. Confess that you have flaws and that you're not perfect and that you're in need of a Savior. And that you believe that he is the one and only Savior, that Jesus is the only way to God. And you do business with him with that. Maybe you're here and you are a Christ follower, but man, you don't seem to have peace in your heart and your life right now because you're not living under his leadership. You know all the right things. You know how to say the right things. You're here. You came to church, checking it off your list. But in reality, you're not walking with him. You're not connected with him. You're just going through the motions. I'm telling you, if you're going through the motions, well, I'm glad you're here. But really, you're fooling yourself if you're not connected to him, walking with him, living for him. Because you're not going to have true and lasting peace until you're in stride with the Father. So if that's you today, man, just get that right. Begin to take one step forward to connecting with him more. And then one step, and then one step, and then let him take over and lead you the rest of the way. But commit to him today to begin to follow him and live under his leadership. And I promise you, peace will be a result. The peace will come. And he'll get you through those darkest moments. He is our Prince of Peace. He comforts you. He saves you. Again, Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your Son. And God, this time of year, as we think about all the things that Christmas brings with busyness and family and gifts and giving of gifts and receiving gifts, God, may we not forget that you are the greatest gift we could ever receive. And may we keep our eyes fixed on you during this time. Not be distracted, to know that we celebrate your birth, because that was peace on earth. God, we thank you. God, I pray for each person that's here, Lord, that you would speak to them and they would be responsive. Whether they need to step over that line of faith and put their faith and trust in you, Lord, as their Savior, as their everything, or maybe if they need to come back and get back right. Lord, you speak, and may we be responsive and to follow your lead. In your name we pray.